The Man Who Didn't Call by Rosie Walsh. Read by Catherine Press. This book is dedicated to anyone who has found themselves floored by the absence of a telephone call, especially those who didn't imagine they'd care. We can perhaps only ever fall in love without knowing quite who we have fallen in love with. Alain de Botton, Essays in Love. Part 1. Chapter 1. Dear You, it's exactly 19 years since that luminous morning when we smiled and said goodbye. That we would see each other again was never in doubt, was it? It was a question of when, not if. In fact, it wasn't even a question. The future might have seemed as insubstantial as the curled edge of a dream, but it unequivocally contained us both, together. And yet it didn't. Even after all these years, I find myself stunned by that. 19 years since that day. 19 whole years. And I'm still looking for you. I will never stop looking for you. Often you appear when I expect it least. Earlier today, I was trapped in some pointless dark thought or other, my body clenched like a metal fist. Then suddenly you were there, a bright autumn leaf cartwheeling over a dull pewter lawn. I uncurled and smelled life, felt dew on my feet, saw shades of green. I tried to grab hold of you, that vivid leaf cavorting and wriggling and giggling. I tried to take your hand, look straight at you. But like an optical black spot, you slid silently sideways, just out of reach. I will never stop looking for you. Chapter 2. Day 7. When We Both Knew. The grass had become damp. Damp and dark and full of industry. Stretching away towards the blackened ridge of the woods, it quivered with battalions of ants and ponderous snails and tiny gossamer-spinning spiders. Underneath us, the earth drew to itself a last residue of warmth. Eddie, lying next to me, was humming the Star Wars theme tune. His thumb stroked mine. Slowly, gently, like the clouds moving across the fine clip of moon above us. Let's search for aliens, he'd said earlier, as the violet sky had thickened to purple. We were still there. I heard the distant sigh of the last train disappearing into the tunnel further up the hill, and I smiled, remembering when Hannah and I used to camp out here as children. In a small field in this same small valley, hidden from what still felt like a small world. At the first sign of summer, Hannah would beg our parents to put up the tent. Sure, they said, as long as you camp in the garden. The garden was flat. It was at the front of our house, overlooked by almost every window. But it was never enough for Hannah, whose spirit of adventure, even though she was 5 years my junior, had always exceeded mine. She wanted the field. The field straggled up the steep hill behind our house, flattening just enough at the top to fit a tent. It was overlooked by nothing other than the sky. It was speckled with hard frisbees of cowpat and was so high up you could almost look down our chimney. Our parents were not so keen on the field. But I'll be perfectly safe, Hannah would insist in that bossy little voice. How I missed that voice. I'll have Alex with me. Hannah's best friend spent most of her time at our house. And Sarah. She can protect us if any murderers come. As if I were a well-built man with a reliable right hook. And you won't have to make our dinner if we go camping. Or our breakfast. Hannah was like a tiny bulldozer. She never ran out of counter-arguments, and our parents inevitably gave in. At first they camped in the field with us, but eventually, as I fought on through the knotted jungle of adolescence, they allowed Hannah and Alex to sleep up there alone, with me as bodyguard.